Good morning. This is Jennifer. This is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study, and I'm glad you're here. Feels today like it should be Thanksgiving already. I don't know, like I've been waiting all week. Why isn't there turkey already? Today's the day before Thanksgiving, and if you're just joining me today on some random day in the year, that might have sounded kind of weird, like, what? What day is this? Anyway, we're recording this. We are live on Facebook, of course, and we're on the webinar here, and as well as the podcast, soon to be YouTube once I get this uploaded. So today's the day before Thanksgiving, so of course I'm wearing a tank top today. Clearly, that's tank top weather, Thanksgiving. California. Gotta love California. I'll be wearing a sundress for my Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow, I'm sure. It's supposed to be like 90-something degrees tomorrow. So, sundress it is. Bummer. Oh, well, I had a cute little scarf all ready to go. Nope. No scarves. Unless I just wore the scarf. Nobody wants that, right? All right, let me go ahead and get us started. Switch you over to the screen so you can see the study. Scroll to that. There we go. Lesson 5, day 7. Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer and get this party started. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the love and the joy that we have in being in your word. And I thank you for every ear listening right now, every heart that is in attendance with this Bible study. Thank you for them and their love for you. I pray that you would bless our time together now as we get into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody asked me the other day, why don't you just read the prayer that you wrote on the Bible study? And if you have the Bible study in front of you, you can see right there. I have a prayer for you. That's the prayer that I prayed the day that I wrote that study. And it's for you. And it's for you if you are at a loss for words. A few years ago, I was writing studies and I was including prayers at the beginning. And then I kind of stopped and didn't get in that habit and stopped doing it. And a few people said, hey, bring back the prayers. We really like having those. It's helpful. And so I thought, well, I'll bring them back. And so I did. And people have enjoyed having a pre-written prayer in a sense. But for me, it's the prayer that I prayed the morning that I wrote the study for you. And so to me, it's a little bit sentimental, I guess, as well. So I'll pray the prayer I pray in the moment I pray it. Like I just did. All right. We're going to begin with our write and memorize portion. So let's go ahead and open up our Bibles to Hebrews 4, 15 through 16. Thanks for the hearts and the loves. I appreciate that. And let me get over to there. Hebrews 4, 15 through 16 is our verse this week. So let's go ahead and grab a pen. Are you guys getting good at this? Are you ready? Write it down. Don't forget, if you don't already have the Bible study downloaded, I haven't put it up on the website yet. I need to do that. I keep on forgetting. You can always email me if you don't have the actual hard copy of the lesson. But for this portion, you could just write it on a sheet of notebook paper. Let's go ahead and do that. And I'll read it and we'll write it as I go. For we do not have a high priest, for we do not have. Remember, this isn't a penmanship test here. I'm just saying that because my penmanship is so horrible. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize. I am getting this down. Unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Yes, I knew that part. How did you? Did you do good? Our weaknesses. But who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. I'm totally getting this one. But who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Mine looks like shorthand. Remember that? Does anyone still know how to write shorthand? Secretaries would write it really quickly and have this little... That's what mine looks like. Only I can't read it. Mine looks more like tongues, and I need an interpreter to interpret it. Tongues that have been written with no interpreter, which is totally not biblical. Just messing around. Then let us then with confidence draw near. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy. I don't know why my mind went blank on that. That we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Yay. There we go. Good job, everybody. All right, let's head over to our Bible study page. Back over there and continue on from that point. Hey, don't forget to share this, by the way. This is a great day to share the Bible study. Those of you who attend the Bible study in person with us, of course, we're meeting on this coming Monday at 6:30 p.m. or Tuesday at 9:30 a.m. Those of you who just attend through the Bible study online here, you'll be able to listen to all the talks. And we miss you. We would love for you to be able to attend, but I know a lot of you are out of the area. So thank you for being with us in this portion of the study. But this is a great day to share the study. A lot of people start thinking about their spiritual life and wanting to have some something that'll anchor them into a study each day. Maybe they're ready to move on from just doing a simple little, read a quick devotional and jot out the door type of a day. They really want to get into the Word and study it better. And this would be a great day to invite them to the study and encourage people to get in the Word and join a Bible study and a great group that we're in. So I encourage you to do that. Well, let's go ahead and read Hebrews 5, 10 through 14 is our scripture today. And pop over to that screen again for you. There you go. You can see it. Hebrews 5, we're going to read from 10 to 14. And being designated. All right, so we're going to really focus in on Christ as we're moving into this understanding of Melchizedek. Here we go. Being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. About this we have much to say, for it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. All right, that's a pretty stern word. I don't think I'd be wanting to sit in that congregation when the pastor stands up and says, "You are dull of hearing. I keep on having to give you the same old milk, and you people need to be ready to move on to solid food." Oh my gosh. I love how the Bible does not pull any punches. All right, back to our lesson. Here we go. So today's passage begins with a built-in review, Hebrews 5:11a, about this. We have much to say. What is the this the author is referring to? Well, let's go ahead and summarize what he's been teaching, beginning with Hebrews 4, verse 14. Move over to that passage in your Bible and join me there, please. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. And then Hebrews 5, 1. For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all those who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So, to summarize what he's been teaching from Hebrews 4, let me pop back over to the lesson so you can see that. There you go. All right, so Hebrews 4, 14. We want to summarize that. Go back, take a look at that in the Word. Jesus is our great high priest. And what should we do? Think about that. What does it say? Jesus, our great high priest, hold fast that confession. Hold fast that truth about who he is, right? All right, so Hebrews 5, 1, this was about the Aaronic priesthood, the priesthood after the order of Aaron, who is the tribe of? Who is he the tribe of? We've been talking about this. Levi. Good job. I hope that's a good job. I'm sure it means a good job. I'm sure you would have known that, right? So Hebrews 5:1 says he was chosen from among men, appointed by God, offered gifts and sacrifices for sins. What about Hebrews 5:9? About the kind of priest Jesus was and is. Well, he was made perfect, and he's the source of our eternal salvation. And then in chapter 5, verse 10, moving on from there, what did we learn about Jesus? What do we learn? You can do this. You can do this. Take a look at it. Hebrews 5:10. Shout it out. I wish I could really hear you. That'd be super cool. Actually, I can. If you join me on the Zoom instead of being on Facebook Live, did you know by using that Zoom link that you can actually talk? pretty cool. We can like engage back and forth. It's pretty cool. So Jesus is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So that's what we see there. All right. So read Hebrews 5:11. Can you sense the heart of the author? He has a teacher's heart, a heart that desires for others to know and understand. What does he say about the material that he wants to teach? Well, back in Hebrews 5:11, again, we read, about this we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. So what does he say about the material that he wants to teach? It's hard to explain, all right? And the teachers already know that in advance. They already know their students. Teachers know what's coming up and go, this is going to be tough because they know their students. If they know their students are sharp and on it and ready to go, then they're going to be like, okay, we're ready for this next chapter. But students that are dull, like he's talking about here, he knows in his heart, I need to move on. We got to get through this. We've got to move forward in this. But they're dull. They're not hearing it. Okay. So I've been a teacher for many, many, many years in some capacity or another. Since my first teaching, I first got a teaching job in 1988, right out of college. And I've been teaching ever since. You get to know your students when you do that. And I've either been teaching children or adults for nearly 30 years next year that I've been in the teaching profession. And I consider myself still in the teaching profession. People ask me all the time what I do. And usually teacher is, or educator is a, especially for a stranger, like on an airplane or something like that, is a great way to open up conversations. As soon as I say that I'm a pastor, it like makes people get all weirded out. But if I say teacher, oh great, what subject do you teach? I'm like, well, I teach a lot of subjects. And then I can talk about the word that I teach, the Bible. All right. So he says that it's hard to explain. It's not that the material he wants to cover is so difficult though. It's hard to explain because of what issue. It's not the material. The material isn't that hard to explain. We're going to get into it in a little bit. It's not that hard. Why is it hard to explain? It's because the hearers, the people he's trying to explain it to them, it's hard to explain because of who they are and who they really should be by now. So the author of Hebrews is on a roll. He's been ramping up the information, and you can feel him moving into this new topic, Melchizedek. Jesus is a priest in the order of this mysterious priest, Melchizedek. And just when you think he's going to dive into more details about the topic, he interrupts his lesson and he doesn't pick up the topic again for another 24 verses. That's a good teacher. That's a teacher who genuinely cares about that those listening are understanding and are prepared to learn. It's not that the subject is difficult. It's that he knows his audience and he knows they have a problem. Do you hear, feel it? Do you feel the heart of the teacher of this passage? I love that. Let me get a sip of water. Hold on just a second. All right, so question number four here. By saying that they have become dull of hearing, what does that imply about their original hearing? What does that imply? Think about that. If they become dull of hearing, he doesn't say to them, you've always been dull of hearing. You are so dull and you've never been anything but dull, dull, dull of hearing. What does he say? You have become dull of hearing. So what does this imply about their hearing? Well, at one point, they weren't dull. They weren't calloused. At one point, they were eager, open, softened, but now they're dull as opposed to sharp and pointed and ready, right? So review Hebrews 2:1. What does the author warn in this verse? So let's go over to Hebrews 2:1. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. Okay. What does the author warn? We must pay much closer attention, implying again, if they pay, underline the word heard, by the way, in chapter 2, verse 1, and hearing in chapter 5, verse 11, hearing and heard, if they had paid much closer attention, what does that imply? That they were paying attention. They need to pay much closer attention. If he says they have become dull of hearing, what does that imply? They weren't dull. They were paying attention. They need to pay more close attention. They weren't dull. They've become dull. It's Greek to me. Let's read this. The Greek words translated dull of hearing is literally sluggish in the hearing. From the Greek word nothroi, it implies a negligence or laziness. Ouch. The author isn't holding back in his criticism. You are negligent. You are lazy. You are sluggish. Honestly, as a teacher, you get to a certain point with your kids, with your students, that you have a good relationship with them. And you can just say it and tell it like it is, because you don't want to monkey around anymore. There's no coddling. There's no need for that. There's a sense of urgency here, especially with the gospel message. He's like, we don't have time to monkey around anymore. I don't have time to deal with your dullness anymore. You guys need to move it up. Step it up. Let's go. And I will tell you right now, I've had this conversation with students before, children students and adult students, that I've said, it's time. You've heard this. You know this. Let's move on. Now it's on you. This isn't the material being too hard. This isn't the teacher being too tough, going too fast, giving too much information. I remember a parent I had back when I was teaching fifth grade who said that to me. Oh, this is really hard. I'm like, fifth grade is hard. If you've ever had a fifth grader, you know it is definitely hard material to move from fourth grade to fifth grade. But if you've got a good teacher, you've got a teacher who knows that path. And guess what? I had taught fourth grade for years before I taught fifth grade. So I knew what they were getting in fourth. I was ready to bring them along right into fifth grade at a good pace. So when a parent would come to me and say, this is really hard and you're moving too fast and the quantity of information is too much, I would say, actually, let me show you Johnny's behavior, right? Let me show you what's going on in the classroom. So let the parents come in there and observe, and they go, oh, it's my kid. Yeah, it's your kid. Your kid's dull of hearing. All right? So it's not me going too fast. It's not the material being too hard. It's not any of that. And I feel like this is what the author is saying here is, look, I got a lot to share with you guys, and you should be ready for this by now. I'm ready. Let's be ready, and let's go. But he can't, because they've become what? Dull of hearing. What's the author's expectation for them by this time? Well, in Hebrews 5:12, we read that. I will just read it right here from my Bible for you. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again. You ought to be teachers, he says. In our first lesson, we established the timeline for the epistle to be in the mid-60s AD, right before the extreme persecution under Nero. By that timeline, the audience would have had time to grow in their understanding of the gospel of Jesus. But remember also who the audience is, Jews. They would have been raised in the teaching of Judaism, which would have given them even more advantage over former pagans who had come to faith in Jesus Christ. The author of Hebrews isn't being unreasonably tough on his readers. He has realistic expectations based on who his audience is, who his audience was, and what they should have known by now. That's why I love reading this and knowing the heart of this teacher. He knows his people. I love that. How about you? Should you be ready to be a teacher by now in your faith? Why or why not? Think about that. Some of you see that word teacher and you, I can't be a teacher. Jennifer's a teacher by profession. I can't be like her. No, you can't be like me. You're whatever you are for your profession. When it comes to the word of God, there is an expectation that we are teachers, all right? So if he's talking to these people as teachers, he's talking to these people who know the word, who have that relationship with Christ. These are saved people who have a love for God, or at some point exemplified that, right? He wouldn't be saying you should be teachers to a bunch of pagans who didn't even know the gospel yet, right? These are people who've been with him. He knows them. He knows that they should be ready. How about you? What do you feel you need to be ready to teach? Who could you speak to about that? Is there somebody in your life that could come alongside of you that you can confide in and say, it's been time. I've been in the Word for a long time. I was saved when I was 8 years old. I became a Christian when I was 18. I joined the church and accepted Christ as my Savior 2 years ago, 7 years ago, whatever it was. Where are you right now? You have someone that can come alongside of you that you could approach and say, this is me. I'm dull of hearing. I'm not ready to teach. And I get it now. I see this. If they should have been ready to teach, how much more so should I? Maybe you're thinking that in your mind. Maybe you're still resisting. You're putting the brakes on. You're like, no, it can't be me. I'm not smart enough. I'm not knowledgeable enough. I don't know this enough. I say, let that go. Put that on the Lord. If you've been walking with the Lord for at least a year and you've been well taught during that time, I'm not talking about you've been reading your little devotionals. I'm talking you are in the church. You are in a Bible study. You are learning the word. If you've been well taught, it's time to teach. All right? So that doesn't mean you're standing up at the pulpit necessarily. Maybe God will call you to that. You are sharing the gospel with people side by side, shoulder to shoulder. You're teaching them as you go, as it says in Deuteronomy, as you walk along the way. So what two you need statements does the author give in chapter 5, verse 12? Well, he says here, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God, and you need milk, not solid food. You need someone to teach you again. What does this imply that they need someone to teach them again? So write that down. You need to be taught again, right? What does it imply? That they've already been taught. Are you getting these implications that he's given? You need to amp up your hearing. You need to amp up your listening. You need to amp up your teaching. You've already been taught this material. You need someone to teach it to you again. And I get that. Everyone needs to be reviewed. I need to review all the time. I'll read something and go, oh my gosh, I totally know I read this years ago. How is it not sticking in my brain? I get it. But I'm taking ownership of that. I'm moving forward in that. I'm being proactive in my faith. When I recognize that about myself, I don't just sit there and like, oh, well, I guess I'm a knucklehead. I don't know how to do the word. No! I get excited about the word. I have a burden for those around me who don't know the word. So I take ownership of that and move forward so that I won't be the one getting called out by the Holy Spirit that I'm dull of hearing. What exactly do they need to be taught again? They need to be taught the essentials, the basics, the oracles, right? You need milk, not meat. Underline and connect the phrase basic principles and the word milk in your Bible. Go ahead and do that. Let's read the It's Greek to Me over here. Basic principles is from the Greek. Stoikeis tais arkes. I always forget that I've written it all out for you, but it's fun to learn how to read the Greek. I'll teach you how to do that someday. If you want to ask me, I'll teach you what the letters mean and how to read that. But anyway, stoikeis tais arkes, meaning essentially the ABCs. You need kindergarten level teaching. You need to go back to the basics of what all this is based upon, God's original word, the Logos Tau Theo, the Logion Hau Theo, divine utterances of the word. And this would have included the Tanakh, which we've talked about before, which refers back to the Old Testament. Did I not give you a closing? I did not give you a closing today, did I? Look at that. No closing. Oh, well. Normally I have like a nice little in closing. I clearly was running out of space at the end, so no closing for you today. Here's my closing for you today. Maybe you're listening to this study right now and you're finding in your heart that you would have been the one being addressed in this letter as someone who's become dull of hearing, not able to teach yet, haven't been paying close attention and need to be paying more close attention. So let me give you some encouragement. You know, Satan wants to steal and destroy and kill your hope, your joy, your love, your sense of moving forward and thriving. He would love that. He would love for you to feel condemned. He would love for you to feel dumb. He would love for you to feel like you're not worthy and beat yourself up over all this. So if you are in that boat and you're tempted to go, oh, I'm so dull of hearing. Why haven't I been able to do this? And I haven't been moving forward like I should. If you're in that boat, let me just tell you right now, stop. That is not what this is all about at all. This is not you being shamed. This is the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart going, yeah, this is you. And that doesn't lead you to shame. It's God's kindness, the Bible says, that leads us to repentance. It's not him screaming from heaven, you ought to be listening to me, you knuckleheads, right? Bible says it's his kindness that leads us to change our mind around, to repent. That's what you should be focusing on right now. And coming to the Father and saying, all right, you know what? This is me. I want to be teachable. I don't want to be dull in my hearing. And I want to be ready to teach, even though that terrifies me at the concept of being able to teach someone. I want to be that person. So if this is your heart today, here's what I would suggest for you. Number one, be aware that you have an enemy, that as soon as you make some kind of a proclamation, a statement like that, you have a target. And there is going to come up so many distractions in your life that are going to keep you from the word. It's going to make your head spin. And so right now you're going to need to be proactive and go to the Father and say, you know what? I'm ready. I know I have an enemy. So I've got my armor on and I'm ready to get in the word. And I want that protection around me of my time. And you're going to feel yourself tested. You're going to have life pulling at you and tugging at you. You're going to have sleep pulling at you and tugging at you. Your body is going to pull at you and tug at you. And you are going to have to persevere through all the distractions of life in order for you to make good on your call to be sharp of hearing, to pay close attention, and to be able to teach. This is going to take prayer. Arm yourself with prayer. Never forget the importance of that time on your knees before the Father saying, I want this, not to my glory, but to yours. Get on your knees and make your request known to God and tell him that. Confess to him any tendency that you have to get down on yourself, to listen to Satan get on you, right? Confess any tendency that you have to be lazy, to sleep in, to doodle around on Facebook, to doodle around at the house or going online or whatever it is. Everyone's got their little things that they doodle around with instead of doing what they know they should be doing, right? Confess and be honest and be open with the Father on that. And then ask him to renew in you a clean heart, a heart that is eager to learn, and that you would exemplify the fruits of the Spirit, especially self-discipline, that you would be disciplined in the time that you go into your study. And then I want you to do this final thing. I'd like you to say, in 1 year from now, where would you like to be? Who do you see yourself as in a year from now? Are you going to be the same person that you are today, dull of hearing, slow of listening, unable to teach? In 1 year from now, don't you think that the power of the Holy Spirit, that you could be sharp in your hearing, able to teach, eager, knowledgeable? Absolutely. Honest to goodness, you could do it in a day. That's the Holy Spirit. You know, faith of a mustard seed, people. Let's go. Let's move some mountains, right? But give yourself a year. Think about it for a year, because I want you to be involved in a course of study. I want you to really engage. The Bible study that I'm writing for you is that level of Bible study that you could engage at any degree that you want. You could engage and just go, yeah, I can get this done. Or you can really dig into it and go deeper and really move forward with that. And I've got tons of Bible studies that are available for you on the website. You can go back to any one of those books, any one of those studies that are on YouTube, and do those. And of course, there's a wealth of Bible studies available for you, even outside of the Dwelling Richly study. Get involved in a study that'll challenge you to move forward. Stay committed to this one. And then next and finally is run with somebody else, shoulder to shoulder, facing forward, heading toward that goal of knowing that you have an upward calling in Christ Jesus, and that you're going to remain steadfast, immovable, always, always relying on Jesus as you move forward. And then finally, you can connect with me. I would love to run with you. I would love to encourage you. If we can't be side by side physically together, I'd love to encourage you in this. So that's my encouragement for you. Connect with me, connect with somebody else, and connect with the Father so that we can all move forward in this desire and goal and really higher calling to be able to teach like the author of Hebrews has been saying. So God bless you. I'm glad that you were here for this study today. It's a good one, right? We're going to be off tomorrow. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. Relax or get caught up on your studies if you have extra time. For me, I'm doing no cooking tomorrow. So I am going to be able to continue to write my lesson 6 for you guys for next week coming up, and then go out to dinner with family in the evening. So God bless you. Have a great rest of the day, and I look forward to being back with you on Friday. Bye-bye for now.